Well, it was. I thought we were a team that, number one, we could put the ball in the hole. And I thought our defense was a lot better than it showed. But it just shows you as you go on the road in conference play, the urgency goes up many, many notches. And I thought the nerves were going. I mean, you don't miss that, man. I mean, the first play of the game, I think Bobby has a high-low, something we work on every single day. And it's a chip shot for him, and it goes over, and then we come back down. Cody has one. And then the turnovers were just bad. And you got to take care of the basketball. And let's give credit to A&M. I thought they played the game the way it's supposed to for them.
Oh, death by 1,000 paper cuts for Arkansas. A&M walk the ball down the floor, pass it around, get Arkansas in a mismatch. They'd either get a guard on a front court guy, and they'd get a shot inside, or they'd rotate and get a wide open jump shot. I would give them credit. Their plan was that's as good as A&M's going to play.
Well, so your perspective is a little better than what I expected after yesterday, because you thought that they should have won by double figures.
Oh, they stink. They're not even going to finish 500 in league play. They're not good. That's a bad loss. It's just the way it goes.
Maybe
you're
allowed one or two of those per conference schedule, right? There's your one.
Here's an idea. As we bring in Michael Schotte from BleacherReport.com and the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline, perhaps we can get Jim Harbaugh or some of these NFL coaches that seemingly find a way to win on the road to come in and speak to the Razorback basketball team, because whatever they're doing on the road, it seems to be working just fine. Unfortunately for me, as a Green Bay Packers fan. Michael, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to have you back. And some really good games last weekend. Much to my chagrin, the Packers could not pull it off against the San Francisco 49ers. But at the end of the day, I felt like the better team won, so it didn't break my heart too badly.
Yeah, this is what we expect from the NFL playoffs, that a lot of things factor into decisions when we're playing games in the regular season. I think home field advantage is one of those things that features pretty prominently. But when we get to the playoffs, there are things that kind of take over, kind of factor in more prominently. And I think the biggest one for me is teams that have been there before, teams that have had that experience, quarterbacks who were battle-tested, head coaches who were battle-tested. So I don't really worry about things as much like home field advantage or even, for that matter, things like injuries or et cetera, et cetera. When you're ready to play, you're ready to play. And Jim Harbaugh, as much as anyone, gets people ready to play. And that's why they were able to go on the road and win along with three other teams, because the Green Bay Packers had a good battle plan. They had Aaron Rodgers back, but they couldn't stop Colin Kaepernick, and Jim Harbaugh knew that, Colin Kaepernick knew that, Greg Roman knew that, and so they had a great battle plan going in, and it just seems like Dom Capers and the Green Bay Packers as a whole couldn't stop it.
I think Dom Capers knew that too. I don't think Dom Capers had any aspirations of being able to stop him throughout the game, and it was basically run at will. We saw it early in the season, in the regular season. We saw it last year in the playoffs. I mean, that's been a recurring theme with them. They don't have the defensive talent to stop a guy like that, and that was something addressed yesterday by McCarthy at his press conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a problem with, I think, both old-school general managers and old-school defensive coordinators around the league, that they're still set up, and not that they don't know it, not that they're not trying to change it, but they're still set up for traditional passing attacks, for guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, that if you put a guy in the pocket and just let someone like Nick Perry, who's a very linear athlete, a terrific pass rusher, or at least terrific pass rushing prospect as he matures his game a little bit, that's not a guy you want running sideline to sideline covering guy. Even Clay Matthews, who was injured in this game, even if he had played, that's not someone you want running sideline to sideline. Mm-hmm. Let's extend that to this weekend, where all of a sudden Colin Kaepernick has to go against Luke Kuechly. That's a different ball game. Yeah. I think Luke Kuechly is innately prepared to stop a guy like Colin Kaepernick, and did so in their last matchup. So it's going to test what the San Francisco 49ers have been able to do a little bit this season, and should be able to do even better with Michael Crabtree, that they need to win in a different way. They need to find different ways to win. It reminds me a little bit of what they did last year in the playoffs, where they seemingly found new ways to win every week, especially later on in the season and in the playoffs, but also what I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots are famous for, coming in with a very team-specific game plan. Yes, you want it to fit your personnel first and foremost, but you also want it to be strength on weakness. And if Jim Harbaugh can find that sort of magic again this year, the 49ers are going to be the toughest team to beat.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not sold on Kaepernick. I got a chance to see him in person this year. I watched him do the same thing he did the other day. He throws an interception. He had another interception basically in the hands of Micah Hyde that could not hold on to it. But the guy stares down receivers. He locks on his primary almost every single play. I don't believe in him as a passer. I'm actually very surprised they were able to get to the Super Bowl last year with him as quarterback. Now, that being said, obviously he's such a threat with his legs. He's got a great receiving core, and he's got a great defense, so they were able to overcome some of that. Carolina, I think, is a little more effective passing the ball, and I've gotten to see them play several times this year. Obviously a dominant defense. I love Carolina at home this weekend.
Yeah, it's hard not to like them at home. Again, you know, I just kind of said earlier that home field advantage tends to mean less in the postseason than it does in the regular season. You look at Cincinnati, who was undefeated at home this year, lost in the playoffs last year. Both Atlanta and Denver had only lost one game at home all season long, lost in the playoffs at home. The problem with Carolina, and I understand that Carolina went to San Francisco and got a win earlier in the season, but when I look at San Francisco, I mentioned earlier that Michael Crabtree is back. When I look at what he brings to the offense, so often we make the mistake that player X plus team Y equals what he's going to bring to the team. But I think it's a much more, you know, don't want to get too mathematical, but it's much more parabolic addition when you add a player like Crabtree, because he opens up things for Anquan Boldin that weren't there before. They, as a tandem, open up things for Vernon Davis that weren't there before. And those, as a passing, you know, a passing group, give running lanes to Frank Gore and to Colin Kaepernick that weren't there before. So I think as you integrate Michael Crabtree, who's somehow come back from an Achilles injury even better than before, as you integrate him into the offense, I think he's going to be a much harder player for the Carolina Panthers to stop, especially with their problems in the secondary. The pressure then is, again, as I said before, Luke Kuechly stopping Kaepernick in the passing game, which I think, or in the running game, which I think he can do, in that front four, which is so fantastic, taking Frank Gore out of the game. I think this is going to be a fantastic matchup. It might be the best game to watch of the entire playoffs because these teams are mirror images and match up so well. I've got the 49ers winning in a close one.
Michael Schotte of BleacherReport.com joining us in the zone talking NFL football, and you have to quit using words like parabolic because we're not very smart around here. New Orleans Saints prove that they can win in the postseason on the road. The question becomes, can they do it again in the toughest place to play in the NFL? You just said that home field advantage doesn't mean as much in the postseason.
Yeah, I said this right after the New Orleans Saints lost up in Seattle earlier on this year, that they're probably going to get a chance to go back, which is now coming true. That was just a complete guess. I'm not patting myself on the back for that.
Go ahead. It's cool.
But the fact that they get to go back, and I said if it happens, I think it's going to be a much closer game. And I believe that one wholeheartedly, and we'll see how correct I am later on this after this weekend. But, again, in the playoffs, let's look at the better quarterback. And I think Drew Brees and Russell Wilson are very compatible in terms of their skill level right now. But Brees has the immense experience advantage, so I'll give him a slight edge in this one. The teams, both teams have had success. Both teams, I think, are very well coached. Pete Carroll might be the best guy at getting his players mentally and physically ready. Sean Payton might be one of the better X's and O's guys in, you know, recent memory. So I think coaching is an advantage. But again, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, that entire Saints team just went to a Super Bowl a couple years ago and have had playoff success in, you know, more years in a row, not counting the Bountygate scandal year, for a long time. So I think, again, you're talking, you've been there before, you have a good passer, you're going to have a good game plan. I think it's going to be a close one, but again, this Seattle team is so deep, and I think where the New Orleans Saints had success last weekend against Philadelphia was as they wore them down with the most surprising power rushing attack I think we've ever seen, with Mark Ingram, who lots of us had written off, and a rushing attack and offensive line that many of us had written off. They were able to run the ball and really take the ball out of Chip Kelly's hands and out of that offense's hands. I don't think they're going to be able to do that as easily against a very deep and very talented Seattle Seahawks entire defense, not to mention a secondary that plays the run very well. I just think this is, again, I think it's going to be a much closer game, but I've got the Seahawks winning this one, and we can start talking again about how bad the Saints are on the road.
The Chargers and the Colts have one common denominator, and that, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chargers wouldn't be in the playoffs if the Chiefs had not played all their backups, and frankly, they barely could beat them, and then they go on and win their game, and credit them for that. The Colts, of course, down four scores and come back and knock off the Chiefs last week in one of the most unlikely comebacks ever. Just some crazy stuff. Now both these teams will go on the road as underdogs this week.
Yeah, again, let's use that same sort of formula for Colts-Patriots. I love the fact that these two teams are facing off because I've had pretty much the same storyline, at least with their offenses all season long, that I think Andrew Luck is probably 5 years, 6 years away from being what we consider Tom Brady. He's a great passer. He's a much better athlete than Tom Brady ever was. Mm-hmm. But he's got that same sort of cerebral mindset where when he makes a mistake, he doesn't usually make that same mistake again. But as a young quarterback, he makes a lot of mistakes. And I don't know if he has the coaching support or the team support that Tom Brady did when he first came into the league. And obviously Luck is under a much bigger microscope than Brady was at first into the league. So the quarterbacks, I think, are comparable. Again, Tom Brady, obviously, at this stage of his career is much more vaunted, is much more dangerous. But they both have some pretty huge, like, hamstring issues on their offense, that they don't have the receivers that they thought they were going to get to rely on. Obviously, Brady has, you know, Welker was his top receiver last year. He's gone. Aaron Hernandez, Gronkowski, both not playing for vastly different reasons. And in Indianapolis, Reggie Wayne is not only the best wide receiver, but was also at many times Andrew Luck's security blanket. He would just chuck it up knowing that Reggie Wayne could make a play on third and long. So these quarterbacks have to win on their own, and I think they've both done a really good job with that this season. Tom Brady's probably done a better job, and I'm going to give the edge to him here, not just because it's at home, not just because it's Foxborough in winter, not just because it's Tom Brady in the playoffs, but I think he's going to do a better job utilizing all of his targets than Andrew Luck, who the targets might not even be as good. And again, I think if that defense can force him into a mistake or two, it could snowball on him in the road.
Michael, I know you said that you're not quite a believer in home field advantage for some playoff games. You look at Denver right now, and the thing about Denver, I think, that some of their fans are a little more worried about are the injuries. And you also mentioned that injuries aren't something that you worry too much about in the postseason, but that's a team that's, you know, pretty badly decimated and just lost Von Miller. I wonder if you think that that San Diego's got a good shot on the road there, and can they stop that team offensively? Can San Diego's defense actually step up and give themselves the kind of performance they need for a win?
Yeah, it was just, you know what, a few weeks ago that we considered Denver the far and away favorite in the AFC, but it's set up pretty nicely, at least for NFL ratings, that the three teams left in the AFC playoffs are teams that have beaten Denver. So while they still might be the favorite, it's hard to think of them just running away with it. It's hard to consider them, you know, beating every team in the field. And when I look at Denver, let me explain what I mean by injuries. There are teams, let's say the Green Bay Packers, that have immense injury problems, and they get through those all season long. And I think Mike McCarthy did a great job kind of steering that ship through the rocky terrain that he had to go through. And I understand that ships don't go through terrain, but there's a difference there between the injuries that you happen all season long, and you kind of get through them. And then what we're talking about with the Broncos is that they've had some recent injuries that they're going to have to learn to get over as we deal with the playoffs here. But again, I think it goes to what do you fall back on? And if you can fall back on the talent of Peyton Manning and a great wide receiving core, that helps you mitigate some of the problems on the offensive line because you can get the ball out quickly. That's what he did against the Chiefs in both matchups. And as long as you can be good enough defensively to stop the Chargers every once in a while. I'm not saying you have to stop them every single time down. That's going to be hard with Phillip Rivers. He's probably the most underrated passer in the league right now because he's been almost as good as Peyton Manning all season long and far better than whoever number three on your list is. So it's going to be tough. What the Chargers want to do is they want to stay balanced. If they get into a shootout, that's fine, as long as they can be close enough in the shootout to still get the run game going, still get, you know, have efficient passing, not having to drop back 50 times like North Turner used to want them to do and just put Phillip Rivers in harm's way every single snap back. If they can stay close, but again, that's just as much an offensive thing as it is a defensive thing, because if you can't score and all of a sudden Peyton Manning scores two touchdowns in a row, that changes the character of this game. So if it's going to be close, the Chargers have a shot. But I just think Peyton Manning's last loss came to the Chargers. So whatever, the second they won that game, the second was the Chargers this week, just consider ramping Peyton Manning's preparation for this game up to 11. He does not want to lose to this team twice in a row.
This one goes to 11.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, last but not least, we're going to have to let you go here, Michael, but Jay Gruden hired today by the Washington Redskins as their head coach. Thoughts?
Let me ask you this. If his last name was Smith, does he have any chance getting this job?
I don't know. Cincinnati had a good year offensively, right?
He didn't have that great of a year offensively. He's had an okay career offensively, but that offense has improved as they've invested heavily in that offense, bringing in not only A.J. Green, but a number of good complementary wide receivers, a couple of great tight ends. I mean, he's got a ton of talent to work with and hasn't done quite as much with it. And I think Andy Dalton, something like one touchdown and four interceptions in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And much of the season, he forgot about a running game. Jay Gruden is a smart man, and lots of people I talk to him think he's going to be a fine head coach, maybe even a better head coach than he was offense coordinator and play caller. But when you look at all of the top candidates that are out there, There are lots of people I'm talking to this morning that believe Hugh Jackson, who is now taking over as offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, is actually the better of the two, is actually the smarter of the two, the better equipped to handle that offense. And there are plenty of people who feel like Mike Zimmer should have gotten a job first, and hopefully Mike Zimmer gets a chance. I'm hearing he might be a front runner for the Minnesota position.
Interesting. Michael, yep. Appreciate the time very much, and we'll look forward to following all the coverage on BleacherReport.com.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Take care, man.
Well, Gruden's going from one quarterback who won't take ownership for a playoff loss to another quarterback who won't take ownership for having a bad season.